Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning on fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, picture this. You have Moses, a shepherd. You know, does anyone know how old he is?
Like,
old?
180.
Like, close. You're, well, minus the one. He's 80 years old, all right?
You're close.
Well, 80, you got the 80. You got the 80. Well, he's 80 years old. He's out there picturing this old guy with his, I guess he'd have a staff. And he looks up on this mountainside, and you have this bush that's burning. Now, if you look at it, he says the bush was not consumed. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a bush that's on fire, in order for it not to be consumed, you'd have to look at it for a pretty long time. Am I right? You have to notice that there's no smoke coming from it, that it's not, you know, crumbling while you're staring at it. So you have to notice, you stare at this bush. Now, the first one is you have to be willing to leave our comfort zone. Now, what am I talking about there? Look what happens. Then Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, okay, look, he took a conscious choice to turn aside to see the bush. But God did not talk to him, didn't speak to him, until he turned aside and looked at the bush. Did y'all see that? Look at it again. But Moses said, I will now turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush does not burn. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here I am. Now, if you've been with us for the Bible study, you'll know that who is this really talking? It's the angel of the Lord, who is the pre-incarnate Christ. It's actually Jesus talking from the bush. Some of you are like, what? Yeah, go online, go to carpenterware.com, go to Genesis chapter 16 and listen to it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, Jesus is talking to Moses. And now, the first thing he says is, here I am. Moses says, here I am. Now, we have to be willing to be used. You know, in evangelism, if you're not willing to witness, then God will not use you. It's pretty simple. God calls to Moses, and Moses says, here am I. Well, he's willing to be used. Isaiah. Isaiah sees the Lord, has a vision. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 6. We won't be here long, I promise. Isaiah chapter 6. This is exciting stuff here. Isaiah sees the Lord. And in verse 1, the year that King Uzziah died, the Lord saw, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and a train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each with six wings, and he covered his face, and he covered his feet, and with two he flew. So you have these angels going around, and they cry to one another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door were shaking, and the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you imagine this? And he says, Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then they fly around, angels fly around. And then look what God says, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I, being Isaiah, said, Here am I, send me. That has to be our hearts. If you want to move forward with your relationship with God, that has to be your heart. Here am I, send me. Okay, why would God call Moses at 80 years old? Why would he do that? Because he had to get the Moses out of Moses in order to use Moses. Moses out of Moses. He has to get the Sean out of Sean before he can use Sean. He has to get the Lauren out of Lauren before he uses Lauren. Now, I'm going to mess up in a minute, I promise. He has to get the Ryan out of Ryan before he can use Ryan. See, when we're filled with ourselves, it took 40 years wandering around the desert before God could use Moses. Am I right? 40 years between the time he left, the time he's now at this point in history. So yes, it's going to take a while. For him, it took a long time. Here's the cool thing. It doesn't have to take that long for us to be removed from our pride. God says he exalts the humble and tears down the pride. Anyway, so that's the next blank. Be removed from our pride. Okay, we're going to look at some excuses. All the time I hear excuses from everywhere in the world, and I hear them I hear this quite often. And we're going to look at what Moses does. Moses was a revolutionary, right? He was in the Hall of Faith. But look at Moses. You're going to see a different side of Moses that you haven't seen before we eat. And Moses says, "Here I am." And he said, God says, "Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place you are standing is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father." Look at verse 7. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard the cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Okay. Look at verse 10. This is Jesus' commission to Moses. He says, "Come now, therefore, I will send you to the Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" When Jesus says, "Go into all the world, preaching the gospel, that people may come to know me and spend eternity with me," we say, "Who am I?" I am a kid, born in Memphis. Yeah, did y'all know that? I was born in Memphis. Yeah, we escaped. I was born here, came here. That's what my dad says all the time. I can't believe I just said that, actually. Anyway, if God can use me, He can use anyone. Y'all realize that? If God can use Moses, He can use anyone. We're going to look at 7 excuses that Moses has. 7 excuses, then he gets down to the main one. But he says, "Who am I?" Well, you know what God says? "You're no one." That's basically what he says. He basically says that we are nothing. Look what God says to him. He says, "Well, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you." He doesn't say, "Well, Moses, you are the ex-king, ex-prince of Egypt." Good movie, by the way. Ex-prince of Egypt. He says, "I am with you." See, God is the one who saves souls. God is the one who witnesses. Jesus says, you know, the Great Commission, go into all the world and... Here, look at that. Matthew 28. Everyone knows that, right? Matthew 28. Everyone's heard this, and everyone tends to ignore it. And it says, verse 19, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You know, we tend to listen to the last words of people, do we not? The last, on their deathbed, when people are about to die, we tend to listen to the last thing they say. Well, this is the last thing Jesus leaves with us before he goes back to heaven. Why don't we pay attention to it? You know what I'm saying? Why don't we listen to it? But after he said, right before that, look at the verse before that, 18. He says, "All authority has been given to you." No, it doesn't say that. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." God says, we aren't very much. And he's right. We are sinners, saved by grace. And because of him, we are something. And because of him, we can witness. So you say, "Who am I?" Well, we're not very much. But God in us, back to the Holy Spirit, is everything. Look at the next excuse he uses. Then Moses said to God, in verse 13 of chapter 3 of Exodus, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, if I just saw a burning bush, God says, "Take my sandals off for this holy ground," I would be scared to death, personally. But secondly, I don't know if I would, I don't know, I guess I wasn't there, but... contradicting God and telling them that I can't, I don't know. When he talks back to God, that's very interesting. I find that he talks back to God and says, "No, Lord, you're wrong. This is, I can't do it. You're wrong." I just find that really interesting. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of our fathers has sent me to you,' then they say, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?'" Now, the next excuse we're going to look at is, "What shall I say?" Or, more commonly said, "I don't have the right answers. I don't know what to say." Well, Moses has that excuse. He uses it. And look what God says. He says, "I am who I am." And then he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent you," basically sent me to you. Now, the thing about that is, if you're saved and you're a Christian, you know enough to tell someone else how to become saved. Am I right? If you have an understanding of the gospel, and you confess your sins, and you believe in your heart, you know enough to tell someone else about God. So, that's a really poor excuse, and God knows that. Because Moses knows who God is. And he says, "Tell them who I am. You know it already. Tell them who I am." Another verse for that is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a defense. That's why we're here. Y'all are here to learn. The last session will be very important. If you get anything, listen to the last session. We'll eat, so we'll come back and we'll be prepared. But how to defend your faith. Okay, the next one. let's see here. Let's get down for time's sake. Okay. Look what Moses said. Look what Moses is going to say next. God goes through and he tells all the great things that he's going to do for the people of Israel. God says, I'm sure the king of Egypt will not let you go, so I'll stretch out my hand. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said to them, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Did you notice the word he used? But suppose. Who are we to say they're not going to believe? God takes Saul, the person most unlikely, hardest heart in the world, to turn to Christ, changes them around, and uses them to spread the gospel to everyone, including us. See, we have no right to tell who's going to come to Christ or not. Also, look at that. He says, another terminology they said, I'll be rejected. We looked yesterday about winning, winning, winning. Am I right? Do you guys remember that? That Jesus says, if you are persecuted and hated, we talked about this last session, that blessed are you. And the same thing, blessed are you. So that excuse doesn't work. What if they don't believe? What if I'm rejected? Let's see, the next one is going to come up. Moses, this is the fifth one, I think. God says, reach out your hand, and the staff turns into snake. He gives them signs to show the people. He said, put your hand in your jacket or your cloak. And he comes out, he pulls out his leprosy. He says, this will be a sign. And so shall be the belief. Look at verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not an eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. This is a huge excuse that I've used. I know many people have. It's basically, I'm not a good speaker, or someone else can do it better. There's someone else who can witness to him. Someone else will come along and witness to him. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. I'm not a good speaker. Now, the interesting thing about Moses is, number one, that's completely, it's a lie. It literally is a lie. Because he's the prince of Egypt. He had been trained throughout his whole life. We learn about this in Acts. That he's trained to be an excellent speaker, has great knowledge of literature, great knowledge of speaking, public speaking. He'd grown up in it, so he knows all about it. And yet he says to God, I cannot speak. So God knows that's completely wrong. But look what God says. Look what God says to him. God doesn't even look at that about all his training he has. Moses says to him, I can't speak. Look at verse 11. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, and the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? God says, who made your tongue, Moses? If I call you to go tell him, and God calls Saul, if I call you... Carly, food's here, right? Cool. Excellent. Oh, nice of you to join us. Oh, I'm so happy. All right, hold on. Guys, bear with me for a second. He says, I've given you your tongue. So he says, basically, you have no excuse not to be able to tell these people. The next verse. Okay, look at this. This is the last point, I promise.
It makes them hard.
Look at verse 13. We've had how many excuses? Seven, am I right? Or six? The final excuse that Moses is going to bring. Look at it. But he said, oh my Lord, please, by the hand of whomever else you may send. He says, God, I don't want to go. Don't send me. Choose, another translation says, send someone else. Moses says, send someone else. See, any excuse boils down to the last one. I don't want to do it. That's the final excuse Moses uses. And it's the heart of every single excuse. Is I'm lazy. I don't want to do it. And God, if you look at the next verse, what does it say? It says God's anger was kindled, burned against Moses. See, God knew that Moses could. He knew Moses had no excuse. Yet Moses got down, finally the last thing. The hero of faith says, I don't want to go. So God actually takes that and uses him and sends his brother Aaron with him, which is really interesting because the Pharaohs, when they had, all they had was statue gods, and of course the statues can't talk to them. So they'd have someone go up to the statue and interpret whatever the statue would say and then tell the whole congregation. So God uses that and he basically puts it on a level they can relate, and has Moses being the representation of God and Aaron speaking for Moses. But God, out of distress, did that. He doesn't want to have to do that for us. We'll look at Mark 5 when we come back later.